Early on, I got this message, very sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly spoken or experienced, that who I was wrong, how I was wrong, the way that I saw things, the way that I experienced the world was wrong, and I needed to conform to some other identity. So I began to shrink myself and to really shrink away from who God had actually created me to be and misunderstood myself. Listening to the Experience Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Ajene Gaylord, and I endeavor to educate, encourage, and empower women to embrace emotional healing and eradicate the stigma of mental health in the body of Christ. This episode is part two of Who Am I? And if you got a chance to listen to part one, you heard me share a little bit of a story about me applying for a fellowship in my PhD program. So stay tuned to find out exactly what happened and what else I learned. Last time I gave you a lot of the background about just where I am in my emotional healing journey and a recent concern I was having about comparing myself, number one, to my colleagues in my PhD program and even just not seeing the value in who I am versus what I do. So to pick up from where we left off last time, learning myself, embracing who I am, and being okay with me is a journey that I've been on in my emotional healing process. And so just accepting my identity, accepting my value isn't wrapped up in what I do, but it's all based on who I am, has been a very challenging lesson for me. And so at this stage, after when I was on my getaway, I spent some time reflecting on just what God has called me to do, what some of my talents are, what are some of my interests. I was telling my husband yesterday, we were having a little mini date when I got back from the getaway, just having dinner together in our backyard. And I was saying with him, I was reflecting back on a camping trip we took a few years ago. Now, I do not like camping. I don't understand why you have to pretend to be homeless. I don't get it. But there were some aspects of camping that were amazing. And one of those was being able to see the stars. I live in a big city. We don't get to see a lot of stars. So being out, way out by the lake and the country and everything's pitch black and being able to look up at the stars, it was one of the most memorable moments that I have in my life. It was a bunch of friends of mine and my family all there together on the beach at night, which I love the beach. I love sand in my toes. And we're looking up into the sky and just seeing the beauty of God's creation, the vastness of the stars in the sky. And it was just the most amazing thing. And on that trip, I realized I love beautiful things. I didn't realize that about myself until I gave space to really sit with it and experience it and recognize, wait a minute, I'm someone who loves beautiful things. Oh, that's why I'm always trying to semi-decorate my home, right? Or I like bling. If you could see me now, you would see me in my sunglasses because I just came back from the eye doctor and I look super fabulous. I look super celebrity, but just a part of who I am is someone who loves beautiful things. And I didn't know that about myself. So just in this season of reflection and this time after the application for the fellowship, I didn't actually get the fellowship this year. And after the crisis of identity that I went through for a couple of weeks, what I concluded was this, that God knew exactly who I would be when he knit me together in my mother's womb. He knew exactly what he placed in me to reflect his image and his glory, and that it's up to me to accept and embrace it and no longer assign to it the trauma, the wounds, the brokenness that I've picked up from my experiences in my early life. It's up to me to recognize before the incidents happened that caused the emotional pain, before the words that were spoken that may have made me feel less than valuable, before the incident that occurred that made me question my identity, he had given me a piece of himself. I am a reflection of his full being, and I am a creation of His. And so in order for me to embrace my value, I have to accept who He is first, and then I have to accept who He made me to be, and that I am crafted in His image. And then that transfers to everyone else, to my spouse, to my children, to my parents, to my friends, to my community, to those who I don't align with their beliefs, those who oppose what I believe. Those facts still apply to them. They are also the Imago Dei, the image of God. They are also made in His image and after His likeness, just like I am. And so how I treat them, how I respond to them, how I accept how they're uniquely crafted. My husband is different than I am. We've been having this conversation for, I think, the last 4 years about how different we are. We thought we were the same. We are not. We are two different people, and we are recognizing more and more way, you know, we are way different than we thought. We have a lot of the same interests. We have a lot of similarities, but we are different people. And it's a beautiful thing. I think about the current racial climate that we're in, where there's so much emphasis on the tension over race. And the truth is that race in and of itself is a construct based on power. There is no difference in the human makeup outside of the fact that there's value, a higher value placed on one people group over another. Ethnicity, though, is not a construct. It is absolutely how God has chosen to display His uniqueness in the world by giving people different features and different hair textures and different tones of skin and different heights, right? There are people who are taller, people who are shorter, people who are wider like me, you know. So the beauty of His creation is that we can admire all of these different ethnic groups and celebrate them, but make sure that we never bring race into the picture as a construct that tells us that one group is better than the other. So even in how He created mankind shows His uniqueness. How we look at all of the creation as far as the animals and the birds and the fish and the trees and the fruit and the, I'm like, it's such a vast array of differences, but all of it is good, because that's what He said, that it's all good. So as I begin to accept these truths, it's helping me to heal from the places where those experiences that I may have had early on caused me to question that value. The fact that I assigned value to what I did versus who I am, and I have to choose to accept that truth, that God is who I reflect, and that's worthy. If I never accomplish another thing, that's still valuable. So I plan to reapply next year for the same fellowship and hope that over this upcoming school year, I'm able to add some things to my resume. But I didn't allow that moment to redefine my value or worth or identity, but I allowed it to help me identify some goals that I have academically to be able to say, hey, I would like to accomplish this, I would like to accomplish that, but not because it gives me value, but because it gives me an opportunity. This is a journey, and it often causes me to examine not just who I am, but how I came to be the way that I am. The way I grew up, I was made to feel like who I was wrong. So all of the things that God created me to do and to be, like one of the things to my core is being a truth teller. Like, I am truth. My name even means truth. So it's my mother who picked my name and gave me that as an identity, and it is very much my gifting. So to be someone who speaks truth, who perceives, who sees, is who I am to my core. But when I was little, I had no filter. I didn't know boundaries. I didn't know, you know, social norms or any of that. So I would say things that were true, but inappropriate for who, you know, me being a child. But I would get chastised and rebuked for that, or punished for doing it instead of redirected. So I learned very early on that telling the truth was bad. So then I started lying, like, all the time for no reason, just because I thought, oh, if I tell the truth, I'm gonna get in trouble. So let me make up a lie. And then that didn't do any good, because of course I would get caught because I wasn't good at lying. So early on, I got this message, very sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly spoken or experienced, that who I was wrong, how I was wrong, the way that I saw things, the way that I experienced the world was wrong, and I needed to conform to some other identity. So I began to shrink myself and to really shrink away from who God had actually created me to be and misunderstood myself. So now in my 40s, I'm definitely embracing myself more and realizing, wait a minute, God crafted me uniquely. He made me fearfully and wonderfully, as he's made all of us. I'm his image, and those parts about me are beautiful. But with every gift, there is a not so great side of that gifting that often rubs against other people's gifts, or is often misunderstood or misinterpreted in some ways. And so for me, being a perceiver, you know, someone who has sight, or even what's often called a prophet, I am a preacher of righteousness. I'm one who sees the world in black and white. There's not a lot of gray with me. And so that, without being molded by the Holy Spirit and wrapped in love, can come across as very harsh, very bold, very direct, often critical. So I have to be very careful to speak truth in love. I know how to speak truth. Truth is easy for me. But in love is the part that I've had to work harder at. So my husband and my children, the Lord has used those relationships to help buffer some of the rough edges and to help me to grow in my level of compassion and mercy, because mercy doesn't come naturally to me. Truth comes naturally to me. So I've had to work very hard. My husband is an encourager. He's an exhorter. He's the kind of person who sees the glass as half full. Don't cry over spilled milk. Everything is wonderful. You know, no big deal. That's the kind of person that he is. And so for me, I don't understand that. He is gray. Yeah. He lives in the gray and has very little black and white. So I often get frustrated because I'm like, no, it's just one way or the other. It just is, you know. And he's like, no, well, what did you consider this? And so in our experiences, so I'm learning more about myself through my relationships and understanding. Again, we talked about this before, my family of origin gave me a particular message about myself. And then it's taken me living through my life and having new experiences, and now my family, to understand more of me, accept who God created me to be, and to really embrace who I am. But it comes with a lot of grief because I have been traumatized about my own being, you know, who I am, my gifts, my talents. So I carry a lot of gifts and I'm very grateful. I'm someone who has a lot of wisdom. Even when I was younger, I had a lot of wisdom, but that comes with a heavy, heavy burden. And so sometimes that weighs me down. So I have to be very careful to not allow the disappointments or frustrations or things that may come about, or the rejection of other people, because of who I am and how I am. They can't always take it. I, without even trying, can walk into a room and shine light. Like, God has called me and created me to reveal truth that heals. So when I reveal truth, even just in existing, that can be off-putting to people who are hiding or who are so wounded that they can't handle the truth at the time, or they don't want to be exposed, or they feel like that's dangerous or vulnerable to them. And so I've had, over the years, I can think back to elementary school, middle school, high school, college, you know, young adulthood, where I had friends. We started out very quick, became fast friends. They loved me. Oh, I see so much in you that's like me. People always would say that. Oh, we're so much alike. And then they would get to know who I truly was, and then they would pull away. Happened to me my entire life. And then in my close relationships, even with my own spouse, there are times when I feel the rejection of, I really don't want to hear that, or I really don't want to be a part of your gifting right now, right? I really don't want to deal with who you are. And so I've struggled for a long time with accepting exactly who God created me to be, accepting the flip side of my gifts, and being okay to acknowledge where, if not honoring him, if not submitted to the Holy Spirit, can go astray and wound and hurt people. So I have to be very careful to, you know, color everything with love, but then also just being okay with the way that my life is and the way that I am and the fact that my friends list is short. And that's okay with me. It isn't always the most, you know, exciting thing to have few friends, but I'm blessed to have very good relationships with my friends. So that has kind of been on my mind. So I've been kind of contemplating, my giftings, reexamining who he's created me to be, what he's called me to do, you know, how he fashioned me, all the things that he's given to me. Because in this season of my life, I do so many things. I have my own business. I homeschool my children. I'm in school working on a PhD myself. I work with my husband. I do our bookkeeping. I do all the administration. Even in school, I'm a graduate research assistant this coming up school year, working with one of my advisors. I do like a million things that I do. And I'm like, well, Lord, you know, why? And it's because he's gifted me so much and I'm thankful for it, but it comes with a heavy burden. Because I often feel like I have to do it all. And I'm like, no, I want to outsource this. I want to hire a bookkeeper. You know, I want to hire somebody else to do this part. And ultimately it falls back in my lap. So that's been I've been dealing with this like heaviness, yet it's causing me so much awe and reverence. Even though there's this little nudge of sorrow attached to it, I'm sensing just this reverential awe that's kind of rising up in me to just appreciate what God has given to me. It is heavy at times. It does feel weighty. It feels like I'm the only one that can, not because I want to, but sometimes it feels like that's how it ends up. But I'm so grateful that he's beginning to help me to let go of some of the pain from when I was wounded by people rejecting who I was. And now beginning to accept that there are many people who love me, including God, my husband, my children, my good friends, my family. There are many people who love and accept me. So for the few who don't, they're lost because I bring great talents and skills and abilities and giftings to the relationship. And I would hope it could be a good exchange. So my mind has kind of been going in circles a little bit, just examining that, just wondering, do we even embrace our gifts? Do we know who God uniquely crafted each of us to be? I can always go into, you know, greater detail at a later time about the different types of gifts, the spiritual gifts, you know, motivational versus manifestation, you know, types of gifts and things like that, or just natural abilities. And like one thing I'm not gifted at is athleticism. That is the one thing that I did not acquire. But in every other way, musically, I'm gifted and just a lot of different things. And so I've been thinking about this because I'm planning our homeschool upcoming school year, even though we school year round, or we learn year round is how I should say it. Every beginning of the traditional school year, I always plan what we're going to be kind of focusing on for that year. And so I'm working on that and I'm recognizing that I have some gifted kids. I have a couple of them who are very, very, very much not built for classroom type learning. And I'm like, you know, paying a little bit of attention and kind of seeing some things. And then that makes me think about my own upbringing, my own childhood, my own experiences. And the more I research and learn, the more I realize, wait a minute, I might have been one of those quote unquote gifted types, but I never would have thought of myself like that. I didn't see myself in that way. I've always had a low self-esteem. So it's taken me years of healing to begin to embrace, wow, God, if you gifted me in this way, this is indeed a gift and should be embraced and accepted and loved instead of despised. So I've been in a state of kind of repentance and reflection, really asking the Lord to forgive me for where I have despised the gifting or where I have felt the heaviness and the weight, and really begin to reshape my thinking about it and really trust him. Because if I'm helping my own children to identify their gifts and discern what it is God has created them to do so that they can, you know, pick their next steps after our homeschool education, why would I despise how he crafted me and created me? So of course, with me contemplating that, praying about it, repenting and thinking, arise some issues to test whether I was really going to accept these new revelations that I had come to or not. So there was a conflict between me and my spouse about a business matter. And we kind of were talking through the issue and trying to, and I'm like, I don't understand. He gave me his perspective. He was like, my brain is this way. This is how I interpreted this. This is how I thought about that. And I was like, oh, that's different than me. And so I started sharing with him something different. He said, yes, this is why we need each other, because you sharpen me in a sense, because where I may lack, you have some value, and where you may lack, I have some value. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. So that even in the conflict, I was able to embrace it and endure it differently than I would have in the past. So yeah, when you begin to reflect and repent, the Lord's going to test to see if you really have surrendered it to him. So that's been weighing heavy on me, but the burden is becoming lighter. I will say that. I hope that my transparency has helped you to look inward and even examine where you may need to embrace who you are. This life work is going to reflect more about your natural talents and skills and abilities. The last time we looked at spiritual gifts and personality tests and things of that nature, but just take some time to list out the things that just come easily to you, things that are natural, things that you don't have to work really hard at. They could be anywhere from talents like me. I'm not athletic, but you might be, or other skills. So just take some time to reflect on who you are, who you recognize yourself to be, and even things that other people may share about you that they see and recognize in you. And I hope that you will continue on your own emotional healing journey. That's it for this episode. If you have been enjoying listening, please consider sharing and subscribing to the podcast. And until next time, remember, you have been set free to live free. So choose freedom.